In today's lecture, we will study oxygen binding to hemoglobin and myoglobin. This is the first main topic. Then the second main topic is hemoglobin oxygen dissociation curve. See here, at the start, in the last lecture, we said that the tense form of hemoglobin binds to it what? CO2. And this is for allostric, tense. The tense form, no oxygen binds to it. CO2, H plus, dianalic, ممتاز, BBG. So the tense form means the deoxy form of hemoglobin, the hemoglobin that does not bind oxygen, CO2, H plus, and BBG binds to it. So three things binds to the T form of hemoglobin. These three things, the BBG, the H plus, and CO2, stabilize the structure of T hemoglobin, stabilize it. Thus, reduce the affinity between oxygen and hemoglobin. Clear? So, CO2, H plus, and BBG binds to the tense form of hemoglobin, thus stabilize the T form and reduce the affinity between oxygen and hemoglobin. This is why oxygen does not bind to T form of hemoglobin in the peripheral tissue. See what happened. In the lungs, where the oxygen level is very high, 100 torr or 100 millimercury. Torr or mercury, whatever. Latin tabella. So in the lungs, the level of oxygen, the pressure of oxygen is very high. The high pressure of oxygen force the oxygen to bind to deoxyhemoglobin and converted it into oxyhemoglobin. But see here, اليوم راح نحكي عن هاي المراحل. But oxygen can bind to deoxyhemoglobin through alpha chain only, not beta. Why? Because in the beta there is steric hindrance. What do we mean by steric hindrance? Means there are some structures are blocking the way of oxygen to bind to the heme. So there are some structure here that block the way, thus does not give access to oxygen to bind to heme in beta chains. So in deoxy form in the lungs, oxygen can bind to where? Only alpha. Alpha 1, alpha 2, after that to beta 1, beta 2, as we will see. Clear? This is the thing. So, in deoxy hemoglobin, what binds to it? BBG, H plus, CO2. All of these stabilize the T form. Thus, the affinity between oxygen and hemoglobin is very less. But when the deoxyhemoglobin moves to the lungs, where the pressure of oxygen is very high, the high pressure of oxygen in the lungs force the oxygen to bind to hemoglobin, to deoxyhemoglobin, through alpha, through alpha, not beta. Why not beta? Some steric hindrance, some structures are blocking the way, making a block. Thus, oxygen can't pass to binds to him in the beta chains. Now, Khalifman, in the last lecture, we said that the iron makes how many bonds?
Six
bonds. Four to the nitrogen of the porphyrin ring, the fifth, proximal histidine, and the sixth
with oxygen.
To the oxygen. Now, see here. Now we will talk about deoxyhemoglobin, the T form. Deoxyhemoglobin. See here. There is a steric repulsion. What is the steric structure? Structural repulsion between the porphyrin ring. Let's go back here. There is a repulsion between this porphyrin ring and the proximal histidine that causes the iron in the heme to be above the plane of the porphyrin ring, as you can see. So the iron in the T form of hemoglobin is above the plane of porphyrin ring. Why? Because of steric repulsion, because of structural repulsion between porphyrin ring and the proximal histidine. This is in T form. Now, when oxygen, see the next structure. When oxygen binds to the heme, it causes some electronic changes. That causes the movement of iron to be on the same level of porphyrin ring. We said that the heme is bonded directly with which segment of? With F segment. So, see here, the movement of the heme to be on the same plane of the porphyrin ring will cause the movement of the F segment, which will cause the movement of the whole alpha 1 regarding to beta 1 by 15 degrees. This slight movement of 15 degrees is able to convert the T form of hemoglobin to R form. Clear? To repeat. We'll repeat it again. Now, in the T form of hemoglobin, there is a steric repulsion between the proximal histidine and the porphyrin ring. This is why the iron in the heme is above the plane of the porphyrin ring. This is in the T form, in deoxy form. Clear? Now, when oxygen binds to the heme, it causes some electronic changes that causes the movement of the iron down to be on the same level of the porphyrin ring, as you can see. So the heme moves. It will move the segment that binds to H, which is the F, which will cause the movement of whole alpha 1 regarding to beta 1 by 15 degrees, as you can see here. Alpha 1, beta 1, alpha 2, beta 2, because it binds first to alpha 1. So it moves alpha 1, beta 1 regarding alpha 2, beta 2 by 15 degrees. This is able to convert the T form into R form. Now, the second oxygen, see the first oxygen opened the way a little bit for the next one. The second oxygen will open the way wider for the third one, and so on. In a form that the last oxygen, see, the last oxygen in some textbooks is 300 times faster than the first oxygen to bind to heme. See, why? Because every oxygen opens the way for the next one. This type of binding, we call it?
Cooperative.
Cooperativity, عين عليك. Cooperativity. تعاون. تشارك. Cooperativity of binding. Is there any cooperativity in myoglobin?
No.
No, because it has one oxygen, one polypeptide, one heme in myoglobin. Cooperativity only in hemoglobin because it has four polypeptides, four heme, and binds four oxygens. Clear? This is the cooperativity of binding of oxygen. Cooperativity. Every oxygen open the way a little bit for the next one. That the last oxygen is 300 times to bind faster to bind to the heme than the first one. This is the cooperativity. Again, others for the same topic. خليك معي بس. We said that alpha 1, this is the quaternary structure of hemoglobin. Alpha 1 and beta 1 forms dimer 1. Alpha 2, beta 2 form dimer 2. What type of interaction between alpha 1 and beta 1 within the same dimer?
Hydrophobic
interaction. Yeah. What type of interaction between dimer 1 and dimer 2?
Weak ion.
Hydrogen and weak ionic bond, we call it salt bridge. Clear? Now, as you can see here, the blue color is the bond between dimer 1 and dimer 2. It represents the ionic and hydrogen bond. This is the alpha 1. The first oxygen to bind, theoretically, will be to alpha 1, which will cause the movement of 15 degrees. This movement will cause the breakage of some ionic bond and hydrogen bond, thus converting the T form into alpha. So when there is movement of dimer 1 from dimer 2, this movement will cause the breakage of ionic bond and hydrogen bond. And as we said, the T form of hemoglobin is stabilized by BBG, CO2, and H. That stabilized by which bonds? Ionic bond and hydrogen bond. But the binding of oxygen will cause the breakage of some of these bonds and the transformation of the T form of hemoglobin into the R form. See that when the next oxygen bind, more of these bonds are even broken. And when more also oxygen binds, more and more of these bonds are broken. This is the cooperativity of oxygen binding to hemoglobin. Cooperativity. Clear? Do you have any questions about this?
Bond,
خلينا نحكي انه الفيرست والسكند
الفيرست
والسكند يعني حيكون 30 degrees الفيرست والسكند. نعم. See, we said that the oxygen can't bind to beta at the start. Why? Steric hindrance. This steric hindrance is removed when these alpha 1, beta 1 moves 15 degrees according to the second dimer. So the movement also removes the steric hindrance that block the way for oxygen from binding to beta hemoglobin. Clear? This is the first topic, and it is important. The second topic. This is the second main topic in our lecture. Oxygen hemoglobin dissociation curve. Oxygen hemoglobin dissociation curve. When we say oxygen hemoglobin dissociation curve, what do we mean? So it is the relationship, Mumtaz, between the partial, see, the partial pressure of oxygen here and the percentage of hemoglobin saturation with O2 here. So, this curve, oxygen hemoglobin dissociation curve, gives the relationship between the partial, see, this is the partial pressure of oxygen with hemoglobin oxygen saturation. Simply, what do you think that the relationship is? The higher the concentration, the higher is the saturation with of oxygen with hemoglobin. This is in general. Means if you increase the oxygen level, more of the hemoglobin will be saturated with oxygen. Now, خليك معي بالزجاجة. In this curve, as you can see, the red color in the lungs. The red color, what happens in the lungs. And in the blue color, what happens in the tissue. Now, when deoxyhemoglobin, the thin form of hemoglobin, moves from the peripheral tissue into the lungs, the high level of oxygen, nearly with what we say, 100 tor, tor or mercury, whatever you want to use. مش مهم عندنا بهذا الموضوع. When the deoxyhemoglobin reaches the lungs, high pressure of oxygen in the lungs force, as we said, force the oxygen to bind to hemoglobin. Now, when we say that the hemoglobin, one hemoglobin is saturated, what do we mean? Ya ayn alayk. It means that it binds four oxygens. When we say the hemoglobin, one hemoglobin is saturated, means it carries four oxygen. Four oxygen means fully loaded, 100% saturation, 100% saturation. Now, in the RBCs in our blood, if we are talking about a single red blood cell, then the saturation will be either 100 or 75 or 50, 25 or 0. If it has one oxygen, 25. If it has two oxygen, saturation 50, 375 and 400. But we are talking about billions of RBCs and billions of hemoglobin, billions. We have billions. Every RBC has more than 270 million of hemoglobin, a single RBC. So we are talking about billions or trillions of hemoglobins. This is why their saturation percentage may be 73, 71, 96, 90. It's not 175, 50 if you are talking about one. Why is that? Because some of the hemoglobin will have four, some of them will have three. Some of them will, in the vigorous exercise muscle, maybe have one or less. This is why we are talking about trillions of hemoglobins. This is why the saturation percentage is not accurate as 175, 50, 25, and 0. No. Now, we are talking about the deoxyhemoglobin reaches the lungs. The pressure of oxygen in the lungs is very high. This is why, theoretically, 100% of the hemoglobins are fully saturated. But clinically, because there are immature hemoglobin or RBCs, defective RBCs, in the lungs, the saturation is 98%. 98 of the RBCs are saturated. But theoretically it is, we can say 100. We can say 100. Now, be with me in the graph. In the cave. So in the lungs, the pressure of oxygen is how much? 100 tor. It's very high. This is why the saturation of RBCs with hemoglobin, with oxygen, is 98. Then the RBC will move from the lungs to the peripheral tissue, their blue color, where the pressure is 40. When, as you can see from the table, when the pressure of oxygen is 40 in the peripheral tissue, in the resting muscle, the saturation of hemoglobin decreased from 98 to 75. Means that the RBCs or hemoglobin released or unloaded 23% of its oxygen. واضح المسألة شو مقصود؟ So in the lungs the saturation is 98% because the pressure of oxygen is very high. Then the RBCs will move to the resting muscle. The resting muscle, the pressure of oxygen is 40. This is why it means that these muscles need oxygen. This is why the RBCs release 23% of its oxygen. Thus, the saturation with oxygen decreased from 98 to 75. In the working muscle, the pressure of oxygen is 20 in the working muscle. But, and this is why the RBCs release more of its oxygen, about 78%. Thus, the saturation of oxygen of oxygen with hemoglobin is only 20%. In vigorous exercise, in hard exercise, the pressure of oxygen in the vigorous exercising muscle is 10 only. And so the saturation of the hemoglobin. It means that there is a relationship between the percentage of the saturation of hemoglobin and the pressure of oxygen in the hemoglobin, the muscles. When the pressure of oxygen in the muscle is low, the hemoglobin will release more of the oxygen to the needed muscles. This is why in vigorous exercising muscle, the pressure of oxygen is how much? 10. This is why the RBCs releases 88% of its oxygen. Thus, the percentage of hemoglobin saturation is decreased from 98 to 10. Means it released 88% of its oxygen. Clear? واضح المسألة؟ إذا عندك أي سؤال اسأل. So, this is the lungs where the pressure of oxygen is 100 torr, very high. This is why the percentage of saturation of oxygen of hemoglobin is 98. Then the hemoglobin with the RBCs will move from the lungs to the tissue, peripheral tissues. In the resting muscle, the pressure of oxygen is 40. And the percentage of saturation of hemoglobin will not remain 98 because the pressure of oxygen in the resting muscle is 40. This is why it releases 23% of its oxygen to this 40% of saturation of oxygen in the muscle. In the working muscle, the pressure of oxygen in the working muscle is 20. And so the percentage of saturation of oxygen. So there is always correlation between the percentage of saturation of hemoglobin with oxygen and the pressure of oxygen in the tissue. Wada? Now, just let us follow. See, this is the curve for hemoglobin. For loading and unloading also this one. See here. This type of curve, we call it S, sigmoidal. Because it is like the S in English. Sigmoidal. Why sigmoidal? They say because of cooperativity. See here. If you take the curve from this side, means from the lungs to the tissue. If you start from the tissue to the lungs, it's also correct. If you start from the tissue, the binding rate of the first oxygen is very low. The second will be faster. The third will be faster. And the last will be the fastest. So sigmoidal is the shape of the hemoglobin curve with oxygen dissociation curve. See the myoglobin. This is the myoglobin. Myoglobin, we call it hyperbolic. What do we call it? Hyperbolic. Why? Because myoglobin has one oxygen. It either has that oxygen or not. This is why it is nearly straight for a wood. It either has that oxygen or not. While hemoglobin has four, and there is cooperativity between them, this is why it is sigmoidal. Clear? The partial pressure of 26.6 at partial pressure. At partial pressure of oxygen of 26.6, 50% of hemoglobin will be fully saturated. And this is clinically, in some diseases, is important. Clear? Now, we will be back again to this graph. Myoglobin, there is nothing to say more. Myoglobin can bind one oxygen. This is why, what type of shape? It's curved, hyperbolic. Because it binds only one oxygen. It either has that one oxygen or not. Now, this is another topic. With the oxygen dissociation curve. Agents that affect oxygen binding. Agents that affect the oxygen binding. See here. We studied in the last lecture 2,3-BBG or 2,3-DBG. Or BBG shortly or DBG. What is the effect of BBG on oxygen binding? It decreases. See here. So, BBG decreases the affinity between hemoglobin and oxygen, thus stimulate hemoglobin to release its oxygen. Now, the general rule here is the last two lines in this slide. Halikma. Any agent that reduces hemoglobin oxygen affinity causes shift the curve to the right. And any agent that increases hemoglobin oxygen affinity shift the curve to the left. So any agent that reduces the affinity between hemoglobin and oxygen causes a shift of the curve to the right, while the one that increases the hemoglobin oxygen affinity shift the curve to the left. Clear? Be clear. What does it mean? علينا نرجع على الكير. What does it mean? See here. We mean, خليك معي بس لأنها مهمة هي النقطة. We mean shift to the right or left of the partial pressure of oxygen. Partial pressure. If there is shift to the right, increasing the pressure of oxygen. If there is movement to the left, decreasing the pressure of oxygen. Now, BBG decreases the affinity between the hemoglobin and oxygen. Thus, shift to the right. What does shift to the right mean? It means we need more of oxygen pressure to load oxygen to that hemoglobin, means shift to the right. So, BBG reduces the affinity between oxygen and hemoglobin. This is why it reduces the affinity. This is why if you want to load oxygen to the hemoglobin bonded with BBG, what do you need? More oxygen pressure. More, because that agent reduces the affinity. Reduces the affinity means you need more oxygen pressure to load oxygen. More pressure of oxygen means shift to the right. Shift to the right from 40 to 60, 70, 80, or 100. But the agent that increases the affinity between oxygen and hemoglobin means that the oxygen will bind to that hemoglobin at low oxygen pressure, means shift to the left. Clear what do we mean by shift to the right and left? This is important. This is important. So, as we said, 2,3-BBG reduces the affinity. This is why it causes shift to the right. Means we need more of oxygen pressure to load oxygen. Now, In emphysema and anemia, also in high altitude, مثل الجبال العالية, there is high level of BBG. Why? To unload more of oxygen to the needed tissue. To unload more of the oxygen to the needed tissue. In anemia, very low level of RBCs. This is why there is a need to unload all of their oxygen to the needed tissue. In high altitude, الجبال العالية, the level of oxygen or concentration of oxygen is low. This is why also there is a need to unload all of their oxygen to the much needed in the tissue.
Yeah, doctor. هسه بالهاي اتيتيود برضه مش هسه مش برضه الهيموجلوبين بيزيد في الدم نسبته بالهاي اتيتيود
مزبوط
تمام
مزبوط
طب بس نسبه الاكسجين اللي بتدخل وقتها مش يعني هو الجسم بيحتاج اكسجين اكثر بس مش حيدخل وقتها ونسبه الهيموجلوبين اعلى شو بصير
والله
نسبه الهيموجلوبين حتزيد بس الاو 2 الجسم مش حيقدر يستوعب كميه كبيره
فلذلك شو بصير انه انلود ونسبة الRBCs نسبة الهيموغلوبين راح تزيد 100%
هيك.
فلذلك مش كلهم fully loaded مش كلهم بصيروا fully loaded فلذلك هناك داعي انه يعني انهم يعملوا ريليز لكل الاكسجين اللي معهم
يعني يمكن يزيد زي السفوكيشن بعدين اذا كان في انه مرة واحدة
كيف؟
إنه
لا 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 مش لهالدرجة
تمام
مش لهالدرجة احنا بنحكي عن الworking muscle احنا بنحكي عن الوركينج مسل يعني شو نسبة الدم اللي بكون بالوركينج مسل شو نسبة حاجته للأكسجين اللي مش معتاد 100% راح تصيب حالة غيبوبة هنا 100% اللي مش متعود يعني إذا عمرك طلعت على جبال عالي جدا يعني بتلاقي سكان الأصليين اللي هناك بتنفسوا وانت والله انت قادر تأخذ نفس مش قادر لانه نسبه الهيموغلوبين في دمهم عاليه جدا ونسبه البي بي جي في دمهم كمان عاليه جدا عاليه جدا فلذلك الهيموغلوبين تاعهم بيعمل انلود مور تو ذا بيرفيريال تيشو ذان اور بادي
كل هذا بس تكيف الانفايرمنت
بوهر افكت وات از ذا بوهر افكت The pH and the CO2, their effect on oxygen hemoglobin binding. So the relationship between CO2 and the pH with the oxygen hemoglobin binding. See here. As we said, we will combine it all together. We said that CO2 decreases the affinity between oxygen and hemoglobin. That causes a shift to the right. So high level of CO2 shift to the right. Low level shift to the left. pH. High pH. High pH.
Alkalosis.
دائما ابدا لا تخربط بين ال H وال pH. High pH. Increase the affinity shift to the left. High pH. Because high pH, low H. Clear? Low pH reduces the affinity, shift to the right. This is the general thing. See here, this is what we talked about. At low pH, shift to the right. At high pH, shift to the right. To the left, sorry. As you can see. So, at low pH, because low pH means high H. Low pH, high H. So at lower pH, shift to the right. High pH, shift to the left. This is the relationship between the pH and O2 HB curve. This is all CO2 and the pH. Together, we call them the Bohr effect. We said also that CO2 binds to what? To the amino group. CO2 binds to the amino group of the heme, forming carbamino or carbamate. That's stabilizing the tense form of hemoglobin and stimulated to release its oxygen and thus reduces the affinity between oxygen and hemoglobin. Same thing to the protons, H+. H+ binds to where? To histidine number 146 in beta chains. So, the binding of a proton to the histidine 146 in beta chain stabilizes the T form, thus reduces the affinity between hemoglobin and oxygen, thus stimulate hemoglobin to release its oxygen. Clear? This is the relationship between them and their effect. Myoglobin, there is nothing more to see. It does not bind CO2. Myoglobin is made up of one polypeptide chain, one oxygen. It either has that oxygen or not. This is why we call it its curved hyperbolic. The last thing, it's not a slide, just a note. Atmospheric pressure. We always say the partial pressure of oxygen. Why don't we say the pressure of oxygen? Yeah, in Ali. Because oxygen is part, only 21%, Mumtaz. So as you can see, oxygen only forms 21% of the atmospheric gases, while 79% is
nitrogen.
At sea level, the atmospheric pressure is 760 mercury. 760. 21% of the 760 is the pressure of oxygen. So if you want to know the pressure of oxygen, just multiply the 0.21, the 21%, by 760 of the atmospheric pressure, there will be 160 mercury. This is the pressure of oxygen. 160 out of 760. Clear? إذا عندك أي سؤال اسأل. تفضل.